Our God and Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord God, we're here this morning to worship you, and Lord, we're here to hear from you. Lord, we love you, and this is your day, and we want to start it with you. Even so, we're racing today, Father. We want to keep you number one. Lord, I know you don't mind us having fun, but you still want us to keep you on the pedestal that you belong. Nobody should be higher up than you are. Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for allowing us to minister out in the open like we do. A lot of countries don't get to do that, Lord. So, Father, I just ask right now you send your Holy Spirit, just minister through me to everyone here, and let all of us come away with a new understanding as to who you are. We just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we go through life, and all of us struggle. You know, we have problems here and there, and a lot of things go wrong and all that stuff. And you hear me preach on this quite a bit because life is just full of that. And I want to read out of Ephesians today to kind of show you what we can do about it as to how we're supposed to deal with that. And I want to start in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Paul speaking to the Ephesians. And it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Now, if you read that and you pay attention to it, that's pretty deep. For one, yes, there is a devil, whether we like to admit it or not. You know, a lot of people you talk to and they like to believe in angels. But then when you talk about the dark angels, as in demons, they don't want to talk about them. And if there's one, there's got to be the other. So we either got both or we don't have either. So it talks about that we need to put on our full armor of God to be successful. Well, let's go on and see what else it says. You go to verse 12. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That is a mouthful. I guess they could make all kinds of weird movies out of that if they wanted to. I mean, you look at that. It says, against the rulers. In other words, we're not talking about nobodies. There's some powerful spirits out there. And I'm not sitting here telling you you're going to see stuff move today and all this weird stuff. We don't get into that. But the Bible says there are spirits. It says there's authorities. There's powers of this dark world. And there are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So that it truly exists. And if we believe in the Bible, we have to believe that's there too. And that's what we're fighting against. Now, not everything that goes wrong in your life is caused by the devil. It's real easy to say, "Oh, the devil made me do it." Because if you do that, then you can just blame everything on him and you don't have to be accountable for anything. But a lot of it is, we do get influenced by evil. There's evil all around us. There's stuff on television that as a Christian we ought to not be watching. I've caught myself watching stuff and after you get done you're going, "Wow, why'd I do that? I shouldn't have done that." And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's done that. You got to watch the internet. You get on the internet, there's evil all over it that you can get hooked up in. You got to make sure you don't do that. Well, it's real easy to say to stay away from all that stuff and not get yourself in trouble. But how do you succeed? Well, Paul told us at the very beginning. He said, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand." So what is this armor of God? Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. Because I know people, you know, my wife ministers around the Odessa area there in Missouri here. And, you know, a lot of people ask her, "Well, can you pray over my house? You know, make sure there's nothing here. You know, my house is, there's no spirits here." And I mean, spirits are all over. They don't have bodies. They're everywhere. And yes, they can be in somebody's house. But, you know, they like, "You know, just pray over my house." Well, now, the Bible isn't real clear, but it does mention territorial spirits like once or twice. You know, so we don't want to get into this real deep. But yeah, if you want a preacher to bless your house, that'd be great. you want a preacher to pray over you, make sure there is nothing around you, that's great. But I want to read something out of Matthew that you got to watch a little bit. It says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes to arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Or it's out there just looking for somebody to bother, basically. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and it takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. In other words, if you got trouble with evil, and I'm not going to say that a person is demon-possessed, I'm not even getting into that, but I like to use the analogy of, you know, the good angel sitting on one shoulder and the bad angel sitting on the other shoulder, and they're both whispering in your ear. That is real truth. And you think about it, that's truth. And that's how most people are. You know, the Bible does mention demon possession. I've never been around it. I've never, you know, I'm sure it exists, and we got to watch for it. But mainly, you're going to have one sitting here and one sitting there, and they're, you know, they're both talking to you, and you it's your choice to listen as to what you want to do. And if you get yourself all fixed up in church, okay, you go in church, the pastor prays with you, you go out of there feeling great. Well, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you don't replace what you just got rid of, it's all going to come back. I used to know a guy that I ministered back when I rode Harleys a lot. About every bike run that I went to, he would come over to our ministry tent and be like, man, Hines, man, I just feel so good when I'm in here. You know, and I just feel clean, and you guys pray with me. Everything's great. And he'd come in there, and he'd hang out there all day, and it'd be super. But he would never ask Jesus into his heart as his Lord and Savior. And as soon as he leave, within an hour later, he was right back to what he was doing. To me, that's like the perfect example as to what happens. You can ask for forgiveness all you want, and God will forgive you. But if you don't replace it with Jesus, if you don't put Jesus in your heart, the bad that you're doing comes right back because you have no power to beat it. Now I want to talk a little bit about where you get the power to actually do win. And that's where Paul repeats it in verse 13. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Why? Well, he goes on. He says, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. In other words, you can just stand right there and look the enemy in the face and say, you know, you can't touch me. Because I'm a child of God. You know, he goes on. You know, he says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Here's the formula for how we become victorious. Now, what he basically did, he used the outfit that the Roman soldiers used as an example. You know, they wore this tunic, you know, and they put on their belt to hold the tunic in place, and they had a breastplate that they put on. They had a shield that they carried to protect themselves, and the helmet, I guess it was actually handed to them by somebody that helped them get dressed, kind of the same way that we get our salvation handed to us by God. It's a free thing. And then after the helmet, he talks to the sword. And I kind of want to just interpret that a little bit just to see what I get out of that when I read it. Well, the belt, it says, is the belt of truth. Well, we need to know what truth is. We got to immerse ourselves into the Bible and into Christianity far enough where we can recognize truth. You know, Hank Hanegraaff is a guy that has a radio show, and what he always says, he says, you have to know what a counterfeit is, that way when he looms on the horizon, you know him instantaneously. That's his words. And that's true. We have to know truth. After the belt of truth, you got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I kind of look at that, the breastplate of righteousness, that's something that covers your heart. It protects your heart. So you have to know what righteousness is. Well, I can sit here and tell you what righteousness is, but if that's not enough, you can go and read your Bible, and you start reading in the New Testament, you start reading in the Old Testament, you start reading through that, and you will find out what true righteousness is, and that's what you got to clothe yourself with. It goes on and say, it talks about the shoes. You know, it says, fit your feet with readiness of the gospel, and you can, that way you can last. You know, you need the shoes. You'd figure a soldier, back in their very early days, I guess they fought barefoot or something. Because one of the commentaries that I read was talking about the Romans, that because of their shoes being so good, where they could do long marches and stuff, it gave them a huge advantage against their enemies. See, so if you look at the shoes as the gospel being the shoes, well, you got to read it. If we don't read it and study it, we won't understand it, and it won't do us any good. That'd be just like putting your shoes on without lacing them. You know, hey, you just kind of sort of know the gospel, but if you lace it up, you know, hey, then you know it really good. That the first three right there is something that we need to do in order to get better. But then you go to the next one, it talks about the shield of faith. The shield of faith, when you think about what is faith, it is our trust in God's promises that they are all true. And they are true. And it talks, you know, I've been, where was that in? Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. And what it's talking about there, that shield, you got to be able to block what the devil throws at you. And when you do this, just like the scriptures ask you to do it, you can take that shield and the enemy, and I don't know how this works, but the Bible says it does, so I believe it, and I know it happens. But the enemy shoots darts at you. He plants thoughts in your head. Don't ask me how he can do that, but he can't. I don't know, you may have found yourself praying before, and right in the middle of praying, you have the worst thought you ever had in your entire life about something totally different, or you have thoughts about work, and you're like, where's this stuff coming from? Where's this, how am I getting it? Well, the enemy shoots those darts at you. Well, it says if you have the shield of faith, you can block those. Just like a warrior, you know, when somebody comes at him with a lance or a sword, I mean, you can block it. The next one is the helmet of salvation. It protects our head. And it's a free gift to get the salvation. What do? We receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That is our salvation. But I want to take it one little step further. Once we have that salvation, you know, a lot of the darts the enemy shoots at you are darts saying, you know, as bad as you are, do you really think you're saved? Ah, there ain't no way you could be saved with all the things that you do. Those are the darts that he plants. And with your shield, you can block them. But he plants those thoughts in your head. See, and that's why you need that helmet of salvation. You got to know what true salvation is. You got to know that when you truly receive Jesus, ain't nobody can take that away from you. That is for you and for you only. And when you truly repented and did that, and you received Jesus and you know that you did, there's not, the devil can say anything he wants. It will not go away. No matter how many times you mess up, God will forgive you as long as you really, genuinely seek forgiveness. It's not a license to sin, like some people think. I have known people that take that doctrine and they go, well, I just do whatever I want and then I just ask for forgiveness. Well, God's not fooled. He knows better than that. But I think that ties in with the helmet of salvation. You know, even so, we have that salvation, but we also got to know what that salvation means. And then the other one is the sword of the Spirit. That's what we fight with. Well, how do we fight with the sword of the Spirit? Well, first of all, we got to know what the Bible says. Now, if you remember, or a lot of you probably remember this and already know this. When Jesus was baptized, the very first thing that he did, he went out in the desert to fast for 40 days. The devil, of course, was right there tempting him, trying to get him to do stuff he wasn't, you know, that he shouldn't do. What did Jesus do to fight off the devil? He quoted scripture. It's exactly what he did. And if it works for Jesus, I guarantee you it works for us. Now, in order for us to be able to quote Scripture, we got to read the Bible and know the Scripture. And I beat that to death. I really do. About every message I think I talk about that you should be in the Bible. And it's probably because I'm not in it as much as I need to be either. You know, I get in it once a day, and to me that's not enough. I mean, some people can get in it every other day. I kind of compare it to gas mileage on a car. You know, you get these cars that get 40 miles a gallon, and they don't have to go to the gas station to fill up very often. Then you get these gas guzzlers that get about 6 miles a gallon, and they have to hit the gas station all the time. Well, that's how I look at Christians. You know, we fill up. God fills us full of the Holy Spirit, and we can go a ways, and then it runs out, and we need to refill. Well, some of us don't get as good a mileage as others. Well, I'm one of those that don't get very good mileage. I got to refill with Jesus all the time. And if we do that, then we'll know what Jesus says. Then we know his promises. And when the devil comes and starts telling us stuff that we ought to not do or we don't want to do, then we got stuff to quote. Hey, this is what God promised. The Word of God says this. That's our sword, and that's how we can beat him. And then the last one to go, once you got this whole armor on now, I mean, you're a warrior now. You're not just some wimpy Christian like some people think Christians are. You're actually a warrior. You're standing tall, standing for God. The last thing that you got to do is pray. If you look up here and we read it again, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." With all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray all the time. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a formal prayer. You know, you can talk to God just like you do your dad. And I know, I've known people, you know, hey, God, I'm supposed to, I need to do this right now. What do you think? I mean, they just kind of like, they just talk to him just like he's dad. That's what prayer is, communicating with God. So when you get out of bed in the morning and you get ready to go to work, you might think about this. Okay, do I have my armor on? Am I ready to go face the world? And if you got that armor on, you can say, "Thank you, God, for the armor." And then you're ready to face the world. Say a prayer or two. Say a prayer for everybody else, because we need to pray for each other. Because even so, I might have put my prayer, my armor of God on this morning. I might have missed something, or, you know, I get out there and I get sidetracked and I need help. Well, you all might need help. So pray for one another, because that's what makes you strong. And that's what gives us victory. If we just go out there thinking we can just do, you know, we read the Bible on Sunday and we say a couple of prayers, we sing a song or two. When you do that and then go out in the world, you are bound to fail. That's why you have to put on that armor. And I know people that have said, you know, they actually get up in the morning and think it through. They think through, okay, I'll put on my shoes, that's this. You know, and they literally walk through that list, and it really does truly help them. And I hope that with y'all thinking about it, it'll help you too. And if you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus, or if you're one of the ones that hasn't actually received him as your Savior, in order to make it all work, you got to start with him. You got to have that helmet of salvation, or you will not have victory. And with that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for giving us the armor that we need to be successful in life. There are so many traps, so many things that can trip us up, but you give us the recipe on how we can be successful. We put on your armor. We have your word. We have prayer. We have all these things that we just mentioned. And as long as we do them and follow them, we will do a lot better. We don't have to beat ourselves up. We can stand tall and be warriors for you. Lord God, we just thank you so much that you give us all that. There's so many religions out there that mislead people, Lord. And Lord, we sure don't want to be misled. That's why we're so thankful that you have given us the Bible, Father. Father, I ask right now that anybody that reads the Word, that when they read it, that you would give them a new revelation that they can stock up on. Scriptures that they can use as the sword of the Spirit, as we talked about. Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I ask for a blessing on each person here. If anybody has anyone in the family that's injured right now, Lord, I ask for speedy recoveries. Lord, I even ask for that on myself, that my leg may recover. So we just thank you now, Lord. And as we get ready to race, Lord, I just ask for covering. Let this be a fun day. Let it be a not-so-hot day. And just, Lord, if you see fit, you might even keep a few clouds over us to keep us from getting so hot. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming.